Welcome to McFarland Memorial United Methodist Church. My name is Wendy Neal, and I am the Senior Associate Pastor here. We are so glad that you are worshiping with us today, where we come to proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are so glad that you are here today and happy that Pastor Rockford is able to have some Sabbath time with his family this week. He will be back with us next week. We would love for you to let us know that you are worshiping with us today. If you would click on the registration link that is in your chat box, you can let us know that you're here today. You can also lift up any prayer requests that you have. We would love to be in prayer with you and for you, and so please share those with us today. Also today, we begin our new sermon series called Soul Reset, and we are going to be blessed to hear from our new associate pastor, Reverend Trey Witzel. I know that you will not want to miss it. This has been a very emotional week for all of us. And I stand here before you on Thursday, one day after we watched what was taking place at our nation's capital. Yesterday, McFarland clergy and staff gathered here in our sanctuary to pray for our nation and our leaders. We have witnessed and experienced the deep divisions in our society. And as Pastor Rockford reminds us, these divisions, the violence at the Capitol on Wednesday and other violence, past or future, that may arise out of the polarizing divisions in our culture and society, reflect the need for God's church to be a voice of wisdom and discernment, love and peace. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we look to God's word for guidance. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." In Micah 6:8, when asked what the Lord requires of us, we hear that we are to do justice and love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And in 1 Timothy 2:1-3, God calls us to pray for everyone, saying, "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior." As followers of Jesus, we also revere and practice this holy instruction from Matthew 5:43-45. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." Pastor Rockford is right. The people of McFarland do have a long history of Jesus-like compassion and faith. Today and in coming days, we can connect in spirit wherever we are, and we can pray with one voice, asking God to show us the way to true peace, the way to healing for our nation and people. We have all been affected by the violence that took place at the Capitol and by other violence related to the ongoing divisions in our nation. We all have experienced and are experiencing a variety of emotions. And in the midst of fear and sadness and confusion and even anger, we can practice loving respect of each other, as we also have hope and confidence in God, even in the darkest days. And so, McFarland, let us unite our hearts and our voices in prayer for our nation, our leaders, for all people, as we earnestly seek to live together in love. Please pray for our country, our leaders, our processes, and the current circumstances. Pray even for those who seem to be adversaries. Pray for those whose actions feel like trespassing against us. Pray for peace, Pray for justice. Pray that the people of the United States may come together. If you would like to pray with one of your pastors, please know that we want to be in prayer with you. Please reach out to us by calling the church or by emailing us. You can also submit a prayer request on our app or website. We would be happy to pray with you. And so today, as we are united by God's Spirit, let us worship together and let us be uniting in our voices as we sing together our praises to God. Join together in our litany of assurance. Hear the good news of the psalmist's proclamation. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to God, and the night is as bright as the day. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. All God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. The Lord is our portion. Therefore, we will hope in God. So arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Thanks be to God.
We are living in the light of God. We are living in the light of God. We are living in the light of God. We are living in the light of God. We are living, yes, we are living. Whoa, we are living in the light of God. We are living. Yes, we are living warm. We are living in the light of God.
My soul is exhausted. It's an exhaustion that I've felt over the last days, weeks, months. I know that you may feel the same way. A soul exhaustion is different than being physically exhausted. It's not like you can just get a little more sleep. One of the things that I have discovered in my life is that when I have that soul exhaustion, when I'm exhausted deep in my being, that the best place to be is in an attitude of prayer, to enter back into the presence of God. And sometimes I try to take on my issues myself instead of really turning them over to God and resting in the arms of God. Jesus says, come all who are weary and need rest. And so this morning as we enter into this time of prayer, if you're feeling that soul exhaustion also, or even if you're not today, I know you will, we all do, let me remind you that it's just a prayer away for us to be refreshed. Let us pray. Merciful and holy God, I ask you this morning to hear the cry of your people, those who are worried, those who are weary, those who are scared, those who are angry, those who wonder if they've been forgotten. I pray, O God, for the cry of your people, not only here in our own country, but those around the world who every day face uncertainty. For the mom who's fleeing domestic violence. For the family that has to travel miles for clean drinking water. For the parents who look at their children and wonder what their future's going to be like. For a world that just longs for rest and peace and hope. Reset us, O God, today. Remind us that you still walk in front of us, alongside us, behind us, encouraging us, loving us. Help us to get our hope for today and the future first and foremost from you, and remind us that you call out to each and every one of us to fall into your arms and find rest. God, I would pray today also that you would speak to your people, to speak to us, and tell us, how can we change the world? What is my part in making this world a better place? What is my part in the hope of not only today, but the hope of the future? Hear the cry of the needy. Hear the cry of each of us. And this morning, maybe now more than ever, oh God, I'm reminded of the things that bring us together. Things like the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Jesus taught each and every one of us to say that we could come together in unity with you. And this morning, I pray that you will hear us wherever it is that we find ourselves this morning, as we pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We want to celebrate the work of our previous vision team and anticipate the work of our next vision team. January is a natural time to celebrate what has come before and to anticipate what is coming next. Instead of our annual all-church conversation gathering this year, we are using the 5 Sundays of January to celebrate and anticipate. My sermon of January 3, together with my New Year's letter, launched this effort. The Soul Reset Sermon Series, beginning today, invites each of us to rethink our priorities and reaffirm our loyal faith in Jesus with new resolve. On January 31, we will wrap up with an emphasis launching 2021 as the year of authentic community living in the light of God. This is the first of four video presentations in which we share important initiatives to strengthen our church for living with hope and confidence in the Jesus-defined light of God. Karen Hill is with us today. She chaired the Vision 2020 team and is here to celebrate a few highlights of that wonderful work. Karen.
Today, we are celebrating the many ways that God has allowed us to build His kingdom and change lives. May I share how Vision 2020 enabled us to continue to be the church in 2020, even after our doors were closed. From the beginning of Vision 2020, which actually started in 2011, we were seeking God's preferred future for McFarland, not just for those of us who are here. Anytime a vision comes from God, it's always about the good of others. So we focused on McFarland's strengths and passions, and in 2015, a 5-year strategic plan was created. First, online worship was implemented in 2016, allowing us to continue to worship during the 2020 pandemic. A grant was written to start the mobile food pantry. 4 grants have now been received, with which we purchased a truck, laptops for record keeping, and built the Bethlehem House for food storage. School partnerships were formed. Paper drives and mentoring programs were created, and Project Shine shared the love of Jesus and provided a safe place for young children during fall break. Leadership training was offered to our ministry leaders to increase their effectiveness, and Bonus Years Ministry expanded to engage younger members. And our facility was blessed with new lighting, infrastructure improvements, and fresh paint. With our mission, changing lives that change the world, our church family and our staff rallied around a common purpose. We did church with purpose and on purpose. And here's how God used Vision 2020 this past year. In a year when our neighbors lost their jobs and agonized over feeding their families, McFarland's food pantry served 37,250 people, including 11,300 children. Twice each week, an average of 99 people received 47 pounds of food. Our mobile food pantry shared food with more than 1,000 families and 5,000 individuals over the last year. And McFarland's Utility Assistance Ministry has helped 559 families with their gas, water, and electric bills, totaling over $109,428. Church, you contributed over $90,000 through a special Easter offering last April for this vital ministry. The United Methodist Men have contributed more than 4,000 hours for projects, including building 5 handicap ramps for citizens in Norman, and they completed the Bethlehem House expansion. Sadly, we know that COVID has taken the lives of more than 2,000 of our Oklahoma friends and neighbors, and this situation has created fear and panic. Our congregation care ministry, which started in 2011, comes alongside those who need a word of hope. And our prayer shawl ministry graciously provided 95 prayer shawls to the frontline nursing staff in the COVID ward at Norman Regional Hospital. This past year, McFarland never missed a Sunday to share messages of hope and promise. Though we didn't know it at the time, Vision 2020 positioned us for this pandemic. online worship with God-glorifying music, small group formation, mobile food pantry, school partnerships, worship, discipleship, mission, all for the purpose of changing lives that change the world. Thank you, McFarland, and thanks be to God.
As you know, effective implementation of a vision requires dedicated and excellent leadership. Your persistent, brave, and faithful generosity of both your time and your support of our budget ensures that we have the staff to activate the vision that God gives us. It is important that we are staffed to emerge out of the long months of this pandemic with strength. Leadership is the key to such strength, and to that end, we realigned key staff in 2020. You can still see the video announcement of that on our website. As we enter 2021, staffing for digital and online expressions of ministry is our current major staffing effort. We recently reorganized our communications team and enriched our digital capacity with both staff replacements and new hires, including Megan Barr as Digital Media Manager, Caitlin Kendall, our Hospitality and Operations Assistant, who also brings digital ministry skill, and the next planned hiring of a Digital Media Strategist, who will assist with online and virtual strategies in our program ministries. And of course, Pastor Trey Witzel joins us to lead modern worship and discipleship for the whole church. Pastor Trey is also adept at engaging in digital ministry and will help us do that well. All of our digital and media ministry strategies are led with excellence by Kristen Howard, our Director of Communications. Now we'll hear from Dr. Jonathan Bryan, one of our very active members and a leader among us. He has agreed to lead a visioning team that will take us into the beginning of our next century of ministry, Vision Next 100.
I agreed to lead Vision Next 100 because I believe that God uses McFarland to change lives that change the world. He sure changed mine. We will build a team across cross-sections of McFarland to learn how God can unify us across all ages, across all backgrounds, when we love others the way that He loves us. Our task will be to honor McFarland's forward-looking tradition by continuing the success of Vision 2020. Our team will spend the next 18 to 24 months praying and planning for how to navigate McFarland's life in the modern digital age. In addition to the visioning team, Carol Warner will be leading a team to celebrate McFarland's 100th anniversary in 2024. Carol, please share with us your team's vision.
Hi, it's my pleasure to greet you today. I think we all know McFarland has a rich heritage and a bright future. I'm truly excited to lead the team that will plan a grand and inspiring McFarland Centennial Celebration in 2024, a year when we will reflect on the past 100 years, and we will also look with great anticipation to the next 100 years. We will be glad to receive input from any of you as we plan to celebrate this really special occasion. Thank you.
Next week on January 17, we will hear about our McFarland Foundation and plans for building endowments that will energize and extend our ministry far, far into the future. On January 24, along with celebrating the ministry of our UMW in worship, we will hear about the launch of two teams. Because the Global United Methodist Church may make historic decisions about marriage and ordination in August of this year, decisions that could create debate among us, we will launch a team to help us learn, to engage in healthy dialogue, and to maintain the unity of the church in the bond of peace. We will also focus on the work of our Just Action Team. This team was formed last summer in the wake of high-profile racial injustice and strife. Then on January 31, the video focuses on our theme for 2021, the Year of Authentic Community, Living in the Light of God. We are people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, called together to change lives that change the world. The world of people on this continent and around the globe, our community, our families, and our own lives all stand in need of the wisdom and love of God in Jesus, offered through McFarland United Methodist Church, now and far, far into the future. We are on the move, living and serving in the light of God. Thank you, and may God's wisdom and grace guide us all through this year. Amen.
McFarland, I feel so blessed to be a part of this church and to serve with you in changing lives that change the world. I want you to know how much your generosity and your giving really is making God's love tangible here in Norman and around the world, whether it is giving out groceries at our food pantry or utilities assistance on Thursdays, whether it is prayer shawls delivered to our frontline healthcare workers to let them know that they are not alone and that God is with them and that we are praying for them, to children in Tanzania who can have clean water and go to school and have lunch. You are making a difference. You are helping people know that God is real and that there are people in this world who care. And so thank you so much for your faithful giving. I would invite you to go online to our app or our website to click that connect button and to make your offering today. And as you do that, let us pray together. O Holy God, we give you thanks for the many blessings that you have poured out on us throughout our lives. And God, you have called and equipped each one of us to serve you in amazing and wonderful and different ways. One way, God, that we can really make a difference is through our giving and through the ministries of this church. And so we ask that you would bless us as we give today, that you would bless the tithes and offerings that are received, that they would go to support your mission in this world. God, to let people know of your grace and your salvation through Jesus Christ. And so, God, bless these offerings, bless us as we give them, and help us to be a blessing that changes lives, that change the world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
I'm gonna sing, oh, tune that Jesus moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing, oh, tune that Jesus moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing, oh, tune that Jesus moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing till Jesus comes. I'm gonna sing till Jesus moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing till Jesus moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing till Jesus moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing till Jesus comes.
It was great.
Oh yes,
it taught me.
My Lord. till my Jesus comes.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. These are powerful words. Please hear them now. Come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before my arrival here at McFarland, multiple former pastors reached out to me to give me a glimpse of the care and compassion and just excellency of this congregation, all that I've found to be confirmed so far, my first 4 days here at the office. But something else they pointed out to me was something special, the majesty of this building, something that I know a lot of you miss deeply. And so I find myself humbled to stand in this pulpit where so many beloved, passionate, and faithful Christians have stood. And it's my prayer that the majesty and awe and holiness of this space never runs out during my ministry here, that I'm continually humbled to fill this pulpit. Reflecting on 2020, it was, and it is so good to say was, and have this year in the rearview mirror, but 2020 was a rough year. One silver lining in my life was that I was able to spend a whole lot more time at home with my now 20-month-year-old daughter, Sloan. One of the great joys is that it happened right before Sloan's birthday, and so it really felt like a paternity leave 2.0, even bringing with it its own new forms of anxiety and sleepless nights. One of the joys, though, that I loved was that Addison and I, my wife, we got to introduce Sloane, our daughter, to our old favorite Disney movies thanks to Disney Plus. And yet, even while watching these Disney classics, we couldn't escape the subtle connections in the movies to the garbage fire of a year 2020 was. One example was while watching Finding Nemo. If you're familiar and you remember the movie, the scene that I'm thinking of is right after Marlin, or Nemo's dad, Marlin and Dory, they've just escaped, made their way through the jellyfish field, and they are absolutely beat up. They're scared, they're lost, exhausted, they are shocked and scratched when a shadow from above covers them. As a kid watching it, you are obviously terrified about what may be to come, but shortly after, we discover that the shadow was from Crush the Turtle. And it's there that Marlin and Dory find themselves awakened, going for a ride through the East Australian Current. And as they're riding through the EAC, Crush's son, the young turtle Squirt, falls out of the current, and it freaks out Marlin, and he wants to jump to go save the turtle, but Crush sticks a fin out and holds him back and says, "Let's see what young Squirt does flying solo. Upon re-entering the current, Squirt is ecstatic that he was able to figure out how to get back in the EAC with that iconic scene where Squirt and Crush slap fins together, noggin, and then they say, "Dude." The Turtles use the East Australian current to travel to get through the ocean, to use Rockford's words from last week, to navigate potential threats. And the Turtles, they teach Marlin and Dory how to ride the current in order to find Nemo. As a preacher, when reading stories or watching shows, it's hard not to think, that's a great sermon illustration. And so while sitting there watching Finding Nemo with my daughter, I just couldn't shake the feeling that a lot of us may be feeling like we've just fought through our own jellyfish field and we're simply praying that we would wake up in the comfort of God's grace. Instead of a giant turtle, it's Jesus who is picking us up after the year we've had, teaching us how to once again be connected to the stream or flow of grace in our lives, to allow Jesus to carry us that we might swim with him. Maybe some of us feel like we've fallen out of the current of grace and we can get back in. God's grace carries us when we're weary, and God's current can make our burdens, God's current can make our life feel a little bit lighter. But to get to that point, I think we first have to admit that our souls are burdened. For example, it's so easy for us to respond to when someone asks us, "How are you?" We can say, "I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Just keeping on, keeping on." Or whatever way you may respond to that version. But in the church, we often ask the question, how is it with your soul? An invitation to really dig in and take stock of how are we really doing, often leading us to admit that maybe we're not doing as well as we let on. This is the year that I turned 30, and with every decade, I think we all have a little reckoning with our souls. When I was in college, 30 seemed like so far away, felt so old. But now the college students in my life that I help mentor, when I mention my age, they stare at me with these big old eyes and almost disbelief. But when I was a kid, I felt like adults were more, I don't know, adultier. Like they had it all figured out, like the adults were just cruising through life. And as the older I get, the more I find out that we adults, we don't have it all together. Now I know coming into a new church and with the first sermon, it's probably not maybe the most encouraging thing to say right out the gate. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all together. But after the year that we've just had, I'm going to meet anyone who acts like they have it all together with a little side eye. Because I'm guessing that this past year, for the most of you all, has been more chaos than calm, more stressful than special, more absent than present. And we are all entering this new year looking for a reset. Some of us might meet the idea of a reset with some justified skepticism. I mean, during this whole time, it feels like we've been doing resets every 4 to 6 weeks. But wasn't there something beautiful, something hopeful, something almost magical about waking up on January 1st, seeing the beauty of the snow that maybe, just maybe, 2021 will be different. We're praying expectantly for a vaccine. Can't wait to get back to life where I don't have to know the name of the head of infectious diseases for our country. I want to be able to have people back in worship. I want to go get coffee. I want to invite people over to our new house for dinner. I want to finally have a birthday party for my little girl. I want to go on mission trips, church camps. I want to have vacation Bible school. Maybe most importantly, I look forward to the day where overcrowded hospitals and people getting sick isn't the norm. I'm ready to put 2020 in the past, and have 2021 be the best year possible. And I'm guessing you all feel the same. But for us to be able to live fully into 2021, live with a newfound sense of gratitude for what we have, to not take for granted the blessings and joys of life, we got to ask ourselves, how is it with our souls? And ask one another to tell me about your soul. This new worship series, to start off this year, is going to go through Scripture to tell stories of those who, through their faith, found their ways through depression, anxiety, burnout, and they really needed their faith because they didn't have the blessing of modern medicine or therapy. But these are the saints who have gone through the valleys of life and yet still found themselves in the embrace of God's relentless love for them and lived into God's vision for their lives. And we all need that kind of encounter from God. These past few months, I've done more pastoral care than at any time in my ministry, doing care for from divorce to deaths to just people feeling alone. And it's shown me, it's reminded me how much we need each other, how much we rely and lean on each other in church. And so to do this, to take stock and care during these valley times, like Scott said, whether you're there now or not, we all go through the valley. We're going to talk about a soul reset. We reset all sorts of things. Computers, phones, clocks, jewelry. We reset our relationships, priorities, and attitudes. This kind of soul reset means rearranging our priorities, reshaping our purpose and pursuits, to survey our souls, to chart a new way forward. So for some of us, this is going to be a restart. Our basic spiritual software is all good, but we have too many programs and pressures running all at once that we just need to take a step back, take a breath, turn off in order to turn back on for a little update. For some of us, this is more of a factory reset. We're going back to the beginning, clearing away the clutter and files and data and starting restored and refreshed for a new year. We are doing this so that we can live our best lives in the here and now, that we can stay close to God and order our lives in such a way that with faith we can begin healing from the pain and trauma of 2020 and handle whatever 2021 throws our way. It's what Jesus is talking about, this kind of reset. Today's scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus saw common, ordinary people being overwhelmed by the expectations of society, crushed with the consequences of culture, dealing with feelings of guilt, frustration, and dissatisfaction that comes from trying to achieve outside benchmarks that we find thrust upon ourselves. But Jesus invites us to come to him that we can turn away from whatever we've been relying on and instead to lean on him for our wholeness, our affirmation, and our identity. Jesus wants to give us rest when we are weary, to free us from our burdens that keep us from being free, give us a purpose that leaves us feeling light and fulfilled. What burdens do you need reset? Could be a number of things. Fear is a burden. We fear loss or pain or worse. But fear that keeps us locked where our only companion is fear itself, it's a heavy weight. Maybe anger is a burden that some of us carry. Anger is often a response to being hurt, and anger can be understandable, but an anger that festers, that keeps us miserable and turmoil, stuck in place, is not helpful. Pride is often our preferred form of control. We don't want to just keep up with the Joneses. We have a driving need to be better than those around us. Our pride makes us think we're better than both neighbor and stranger. But that nagging insecurity that it's never good enough, that you're never good enough, with pride it never leaves us but drains us. So instead, Jesus substitutes these burdens with a yoke. Some of us may know and read that in Scripture, a yoke is often laid on the necks of oxen on their shoulders, symbolic of being weighted down and controlled. But also in Scripture, yoke was used as a positive image that though it may be heavy and difficult, it is full of purpose and joy. It's like the saying, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. That is the kind of life that Jesus is inviting us into. To take on the yoke of Christ is to be connected and fulfilled to the one in whom God's life of mercy, justice, and compassion is breaking into and entering and healing this world, inviting us to live lives fulfilled and finding purpose in God's kingdom. I've personally found this kind of rest in being yoked in Christ. Like everyone, I'm not immune to the spiritual vital signs of mountaintops or valley lows of life and faith, but it's been in the valleys where I've heard God the most clearest in my life. First time was my freshman year of high school. Now, I was good at school. I made good grades, but I wasn't necessarily always fulfilled by it. Part of the reason I wasn't fulfilled by school early on is because my heart was in the church. You see, before my freshman year of high school, I had the best summer of my life. I went to every church camp, served on multiple mission trips. I saw God at work through worship and service and just being rooted in constant Christian community. I practically lived up at the church with my mom, our youth minister. I worshiped at the cross, fell in love with Jesus, and being in community with others. I loved it so much that when school started, I felt out of place, and I felt drained. I remember sitting in pre-AP biology, and we were learning about photosynthesis. And I can still, to this day, remember the little cartoon teaching us in our science textbook, and I just remember staring at it, thinking something I can't say in a sermon, but what I was along the lines of, this is pointless. I wish I was back at church. And then remembered, like God talking to me, remembered an admissions counselor from Oklahoma City University coming to camp, told us that in college we could major in church. We could go to school for church. And it was right then, learning about how plants eat sunlight, that I decided I wanted to be a pastor. My soul was reset in being yoked to Christ, found comfort in Christ, but it wasn't like it's been all easy from that point on. Even though I'd go on to major in church camp, I was shocked to find out that there weren't classes on making s'mores around the campfire. Wanting to be a pastor took me all the way up north to Boston University, which I deeply love still to this day and would do it over again. And yet it was also so isolating for Addison and myself. It's expensive to live in Boston, so I took a church job just for the free housing, taking us over an hour outside of Boston in rural Massachusetts. And we were so alone. In some ways, we felt like we were missionaries in a completely different part of the world. Our souls ached to be back in Oklahoma, to be back with friends and family, to be back with people like us. Felt really similar to the loneliness I think we've all felt in 2020. There were dark times, and I'm not just talking about the sun setting at 4 p.m. in the winter, but it certainly didn't help. Right now, I'm feeling the ups and downs simultaneously. Yes, you can feel like you're on the mountaintops flying and soaring high in some areas in life, with other parts of your life feeling like you are stuck in the mud of the valley. This move here to McFarland has been full of excitement. Addison and I, we'd been very comfortable and fulfilled where we were, but there was also something nudging us, telling us that we needed a reset, needed something new to grow and flourish. And so when I came home that night to tell Addison about the possibility of coming here, she was already thinking about a reset. And I remember clear as day, she looked at me and said, "This is a God thing, Trey." And when you find yourself in a God moment, where you really feel like God is moving and you are following, when you're caught up in that current of God's grace. It's such a good feeling, and I believe that that is happening here, but God, starting a new job and moving amidst a pandemic, not being able to say goodbye to my old church or having to preach to a camera for my first one at the new church. It's weird. It's not normal. It's not how it's supposed to go. Isn't that 2020? And yet, here we are. We can handle this. We do, and we need a soul reset just for this very kind of moment, so that we can handle these times, that no matter what life throws at us, we can find rest in our faith, knowing that whatever we have to carry in Christ, the burden is light. We practice this reset. We take stock of our souls because we testify that if we stay connected to Jesus and grounded in faith, then no matter what problems we face, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It's that whole teaching of the difference between building a house on sand versus a house on solid ground. Scripture doesn't say that if we build a house on solid rock, then storms won't come, but Scripture promises us that the storms will not win. Faith in Jesus doesn't make life easy. It doesn't lead to the big house or pain-free living, but it is a promise. A promise that we will have the capacity to handle life and to face it with courage. It's a promise that God's love, mercy, and kindness will sustain us through whatever we face. And so we live into this by practicing the means of grace. And what we mean by those things are those practices that help sweep us along with the current of God's grace in our lives. This isn't just logging in once a week to watch worship, but please do not stop doing that. But if we're not seeking God in our daily lives, it is too hard to experience the fullness of grace and life in Jesus Christ. Imagine if you were to only check in with your spouse or your parents or kids once a week. How do you think that'd go? Imagine walking into your kid's room after a week away. What are you going to find? Is it going to be clean and orderly? No, it's going to be a pit. We can't treat our spirituality like that and expect something different. So I believe with all my heart that opening our souls to God and one another is the only way we will find wholeness and meaning. Jesus doesn't want that surface level social media highlight faith, but instead Jesus wants us to be real with Him and with one another. When we tend our spirituality, when we dig in and give it a go, we discover a joy that isn't dependent on external circumstances, but we discover a peace that is at our core that is not easily shaken. I never want you to feel like you have to pretend you have it all together. My prayer is just that you would find wholeness and joy in living your very authentic self that is consistent with your faith in Jesus Christ. I've already heard so many stories of people being lifted up and supported by this family of faith. When this space and when us as a people can be authentic and transparent, when it's okay to not be okay, we find the support and wholeness we are searching for. Because even when we feel alone, none of us are, and we are to be reminded, need to be reminded that we're loved, we got you, we get you, and we're going to get through this together. To do that, we need a soul reset. We need to get close with Jesus. We need to jump in and walk through our days with Him, serve Him, love our friends and family with Him, eat and rest in Him. That's what sustains us for our lives and the works to which we are called, that allows us to know and be known, to feed and be fed, to challenge and be challenged. And to live into this for 2021, we need a soul reset. We all need to find rest and comfort in Christ. May it be so today and this year. Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, we bring baggage, burdens, and brokenness to you this day. And yet we know that in you, nothing is too heavy. And so for all of us who are weary, may we find rest and may we find meaning in you in this new year. Amen. Now, as you walk through life, know that you do not walk alone, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are connected and we are one in Christ. May you go and live in peace. Amen.